"Same with us," the marine lieutenant answered. "We're 6 kilometers south of you, and there's nobody in this jungle but us chickens. If Okonta's supervisor did lead 50 people in pursuit of the Ibets, he didn't come this way. There's a small savanna which starts about 15 kilometers away. There are about 100 homesteads out there. We'll try them." Static warbled down the channel. Jenny automatically checked her electronic warfare suite, which reported zero activity. Must be atmospherics. "Okay, we're going to keep closing on the village and hope we find someone before we reach it," she datavised. "Roger. I suggest we make half-hourly check-ins from now on. There isn't..." His signal dissolved into rowdy static. "Hell! Dean, Will, we're being jammed!" Dean consulted his own electronic warfare block. "No activity detected," he said. Jenny steadied her horse and put her foot in the stirrup, swinging a leg over the saddle. Will was mounting hastily beside her. All three of them scanned the surrounding jungle. Dean's horse snickered nervously. Jenny tugged at the reins to keep hers from twisting about. "They're out there," Will said in a level tone. "Where?" Jenny asked. "I don't know, but they're watching us. I can feel it. They don't like us." Jenny bit down on the obvious retort. Soldier superstitions were hardly appropriate right now, yet Will had more direct combat experience than her. A quick hardware status check showed that only the communications block was affected so far. Her electronic warfare block remained stubbornly silent. "All right," she said. "The one thing we don't want to do is run into a whole bunch of them. The Edenists said they were most powerful in groups. Let's move out and see if we can get outside this jamming zone. We ought to be able to move faster than them." "Which way?" Dean asked. "I still want to try and reach the village, but I don't think a direct route is advisable now. We'll head southwest and curve back towards Okonto. Any questions?" "No. Lead off then, Dean." They splashed over the stream, the horses seemingly eager to be on the move again. Will Danza had pulled his thermal induction pulse carbine from its saddle holster. Now it was cradled in the crook of his right arm, pointing upwards. The datavised information from its targeting processor formed a quiet buzz at the back of his mind. He didn't even notice it at a conscious level. It was as much a part of the moment as the easy rhythm of the horse or the bright sunlight, making him whole. He made up the rear of the little procession, constantly reviewing the sensors on the back of his shell helmet. If anyone had asked him how he knew hostiles were nearby, he would just have to shrug and say he couldn't explain. But instinct was pulling at him with the same irresistible impulse that pollen exerted on bees. They were here, and they were close. Whoever or whatever they were. He strained round in the saddle, upping his retinal implant's resolution to their extreme. All he could see was the long, thin black trunks and their verdant Cone Island bases, outlines wavering in the heat and unstable magnification factor. A movement. The TIP carbine was discharging before he even thought about it, blue target graphics sliding across his vision field like neon cell doors as he dropped the barrel in a single smooth arc. A red circle intersected the central grid square, and his neural mnemonics triggered a 500-shot fan pattern. The section of jungle in the central blue square sparkled with orange motes as the induction pulses stabbed against the wood and foliage. It lasted for 2 seconds. "Down," Will datavised. "Hostiles, 4 o'clock. He was already slithering off the horse, feet landing solidly on the broad, triangular creeper leaves. Dean and Jenny obeyed automatically, rolling from their saddles to land crouched, thermal induction pulse carbines held ready. The three of them turned smoothly, each covering a different section of jungle. "What was it?" Jenny asked. "Two of them, I think." Will quickly replayed the memory. It was like a dense black shadow dashing out from behind one of the trees, then it split into two. That was when he fired, and the image jolted. But the black shapes refused to clarify, no matter how many discrimination programs he ran. Definitely too big for Sace, though. And they were moving towards him, using the shaggy tree bases for cover.